the biggest mistakes that I have ever made was letting Chris know my official address, because I wouldn't be surprised if he did show up at some
point. Yeah, that kind of hurts. I got to be honest with you, Trev. That kind of hurts. I got a feeling you and Morales are going to have the time of your life, and I'm going to be breaking down Caruso's box score.
Yeah, we all have our lot in life, and that's what it is. And don't. By the way, you don't get to give me a hard time. I invited you over for Gaucho's Oklahoma State tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and you very, very aggressively told me no. I said, hey, why don't you come over? We'll flip it on ESPN3.
Incorrect.
We can stream the Gauchos, Oklahoma State, first round of the Tucson Regional, mm-hmm. College World Series tournament. And you're like, nah, I'm good.
No, I did not say that. All I said was, I'll have to look at my calendar. That's all I said. I said, give me some time. Let me just kind of take a look. A lot of things pop up.
You're washing your hair tomorrow.
You got it. Well, washing the hair, that's like the classic brush off. You got to go with, oh, yeah, that sounds great. Let me check my schedule, and I'm going to get back to you. But that sounds awesome. And then you sit there for 10 minutes. You go, oh, God, I forget. My wife put something on the calendar. I didn't even know it was there. I'd love to, but it's just not going to work. Or kid, or mom, or daddy. There's always a reason not to
go. I got work. That's mine. I there's work going on.
By the way, tomorrow on Ask Slee, I liked Morales' idea of doing an Ask Clinton.
Oh, Ask Clinton?
You should flip it on its head and have Clinton answer the questions.
100% we'll do that. 100% we'll do that.
He'll We could peel that onion a little bit. I'd like to get to know a little bit more about Clinton Yates.
By the way, I think, too, you were kind of starting to bring up this point on a player that we're not talking enough about the Lakers. Kind of give me a little bit here, because I have a feeling I know where you're going.
Yeah, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. I'm gonna make it as short and simple as possible. What the hell happened to Kyle Kuzma? Right? Because let's rewind the tape a year or so. Kyle Kuzma was the guy that the Lakers kept. They traded everyone else that has ever worn a Laker uniform to get Anthony Davis. And by the way, great trade, right? Those guys still haven't made the playoffs. They can all talk, oh, they're getting good. Oh, Brandon Ingram made it all. Yeah, they lost more games than they won again. Lonzo Ball's getting better. Yeah, they lost more games than they won again. Okay,
but with Zion, Steven Adams. I mean, they added some pieces too.
Julius Randle, look at him. Yeah, they won one playoff game, and they lost last night because he was Julius Randle, the Laker version of Julius Randle. We'll get to that later. But Kuzma's the guy they kept. And Kuzma was the guy they kept because it felt like he was the guy that was most comfortable with the spotlight. It felt like he was the guy that would bring the most to the table.
Complimented what AD and LeBron, what their strengths are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And most of it, Slee, was because he felt like that guy that could get you buckets when you need to have them. What happened? When did he become the guy that could get us buckets, that could go for 20, to the guy that's trying to do all the gritty little? I like it. I like that he's trying to expand his repertoire of things that he does. I like that he's defensive-minded. I like that he's a hard-nosed guy. That's great. That's wonderful. But let's not lose the reason you're in the NBA to begin with, and that is that you can score. What happened?
Well, especially right now, because I would actually make the argument, I like what he's done with his game in the sense that he is a guy that now will crash the boards. He'll try to play as good as defense as he can. He tries to impact the game in other ways. The problem, Trav, is when you got Anthony Davis that's out, these are your moments where they need your scoring punch. You need to be a threat on offense. You got to hit your threes. You got to be aggressive again to the basket. You know, how many times did you hear this? Well, when Anthony Davis or LeBron isn't in the game, this is what Kuzma's averages are during the season. Like, you'd hear this. People would try to make a case for Kuz and say, well, if
put him
one
in
of those
starting lineup, get him more shots.
If one of those two players aren't in, look how effective Kuzma is. Well, that's irrelevant because you're not winning a championship if one of those players are not effective or they're not in the game. But this is, you know, we spent time on the Dennis Schroeder part. We've talked about some of the other role players. Is this not teed up perfect for Kuz to have a game where he has 20, right? But here's the reality. I don't have confidence. I've said this a number of different times. The players that, you know, obviously are most effective in the NBA are the ones that can do it on a night-in, night-out basis. Kuz is not one of those guys. No. By the way, I don't know if that's going to change. And that's, you know, I'm not.
No. Dice cast. He is what he is.
Mm-hmm. And so just with that in mind, when you say, what the hell happened to Kuz, I think Kuz really, really bought in and tried to play a specific role for the Lakers that he thought was in the best interest of the Lakers winning an NBA championship. But what's happened is, over the course of this season, he's had plenty of opportunities to say, okay, well, AD's missing 30 games. LeBron is out for 20 games. I'm going to shine in these games. That never really came to fruition. And it never, I think, was not only didn't come to fruition, it wasn't something that you could depend on a consistent basis.
It'll be fascinating, Slee, to see what happens if the Lakers lose tonight or if they lose Game 7, if it goes back to Phoenix over the weekend. Because
you think it goes 7?
God, I want to say yes. I really want to say
that's
yes.
That's a tough game tonight. I cannot sit here and tell you confidently that, oh, no, like, they're going to 7. This game's going back to Phoenix.
Here's why I'm going to say yes, even though I'm having to talk myself into it. LeBron. I'm not going to be the guy that says LeBron can't do it. I'd rather be wrong on the other side of that than on that side of that. I'd rather say that the Lakers are going to win because LeBron James is going to find a way to be LeBron James than be the guy that says, oh, the Lakers are cooked, and then watch LeBron go out there and put a 42-point triple-double up and say, yeah, okay, I'm an idiot. How did you not see that coming? I'd rather miss on that side. But all the things we've talked about, LeBron is not himself. Anthony Davis either will not play or probably be a shadow of what you need him to be if he does. And then the supporting cast is nowhere. And here's another thing that we haven't talked about in regards to what this all means. The Suns are good. You know, we need to put that into the equation, too. The Suns were the number two seed in the Western Conference. It was pretty damn – Clippers are a good team. The Nuggets are a good team. Dallas is a good team. The Lakers are a good team. Utah is a good team. Portland's a good team. Even those teams that were kind of – the Warriors are not a bad team. The Memphis is not a bad team. That is a good conference. The Suns were the second seed and had a really good look at getting the number one. They're good. You know, we're always talking about, well, LeBron's not right. AD's in street clothes. All these. And the Suns, Devin Booker's a dangerous man. DeAndre Ayton
has been the best big man this series. Period.
Yes.
No questions asked. Yep.
Payne hasn't missed a shot in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing really good basketball. So you put all those things together. Your brain is telling you that the Suns win this game tonight, but I'm going to go with my heart and say that LeBron pulls it out somehow.
Well, let's. It's not going to be just on LBJ, and this has been part of the conversation. Kuzma's going to have a good night. Dennis Schroeder's going to have a good night. Andre Drummond, Trav. A lot of these players that I'm kind of throwing out there, I don't know if their future is going to be with the Lakers. I really don't. I don't know what's going to happen with Dennis Schroeder in the offseason. I don't know what's going to happen with Andre Drummond. I don't know what's going to happen to Montrezl Harrell and some of these other players that are on the Lakers roster. I had somebody yesterday calling me on Lakers Talk, where I took 337 calls because COVID got me. Shot number two came through. I was about to start throwing questions about just, did you have dinner or not? 877-710
ESPN. What's your favorite color? when you go to Vegas, do you sit on 17 or do you hit it?
I was about to tell Palat. I was about to say, hey, Steve, why don't we re-air Game 5? Just air the second half.
Here it is, the best of Alan Sliwa's Laker Talk. Hour number 6 of it along the way.
Here's game 37 of the regular season post-game show. Just air it. Just air the damn thing. But one of the callers called in and said, why isn't Rob Pelinka getting more heat? It was a front office question, right? And it was, why isn't Rob Pelinka, you know, think about the changes that the Lakers made from last season to this year. They went younger. They went with less experience in the playoffs, less championship pedigree, but more talent, right? That was kind of the concept.
Theoretically, yeah.
More talent. Dennis Schroeder is more talented. Montrezl Harrell is supposed to be an upgrade in that position, sixth man of the year. Andre Drummond in the buyout market is supposed to be a beast that's getting you double-doubles every single night. And I hesitated because when you say – I don't want to bet against LeBron. I don't want to bet against LeBron in Game 6. When I say that, it's got to come down to also what all these other guys are going to do. I told that caller, I said, I want to wait on saying anything about Pelinka and the offseason moves until we get to the offseason. Because once we get there, trust me, that's going to be dissected left and right, but we're not there yet.
Interesting way to think about it, too. Who would you guarantee is in a Laker uniform next year? It's just those two guys, right? Guarantee. You're betting your health on it. and it's LeBron and it's AD. Everyone else, you could say, there's a scenario where they're not there, right?
Yeah, there's nobody else that's a lock. And here's the thing, Trav. Every single year that you lose with LeBron, this is not the right word to say you get more desperate, but the sense of urgency of all in now, all in now, all in now, you know, which is probably a little surprising to, you know, some Laker fans out there. Lakers didn't make that move for Kyle Lowry, right? And it wasn't just the Lakers. Miami didn't make a move for Kyle Lowry. I think Philly was also in the runnings for it. Mm-hmm. Lakers are in a different spot than many of these other teams. You got to be all in every single year, because if you're not, that window of winning with LeBron James is only going to close more and more.
Well, you saw what it was when they weren't in it every single year with the quote-unquote the kids. That 10-year window was not a lot of fun. That group of guys never really was threatening to win anything or even win any games, really. So, yeah, no, the Lakers, just another reason that they're different than everybody else. Let's try a phone call right here. Let's go to Glendale. Glendale and John. John, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's going on, John?
Hey, guys. What's up, man? Hey, yeah, I just got a little prediction for the game tonight. I'm 50 years old. I've been a Laker fan since the 80s. So I kind of know how basketball goes and how it's trending. But here's what I got tonight, okay? You know, we start off hot. We're playing good first half. Third quarter, the Suns start getting hot. By the fourth quarter, this is what I see. I remember, you guys remember the 97-98 season? Tonight, the Lakers will call a timeout. Kuzma, Drummond, Schroeder, after the timeout, they're going to say 1-2-3 Cancun. That's what I see tonight. And I hate to say that, man, but, you know, just the body language and these three guys not even showing up. They're already on vacation, man. You can tell that by the other day.
Well, Trav, let me just say this. It's not a far – if there are Laker fans out there that think it's over tonight, right, that's not a far stretch. That's not like – you know, sometimes we get put in positions or – because, you know, this is the home team. We're talking about the Lakers, where everybody doesn't want to be realistic. They just want to be homers. And that's fine. You can do that. But if you're also on the other side of it and think, hey, I think this season is over. This is just the way the season has gone. Nothing has gone their way. Every time the engine starts, it just completely stops. That's not crazy to think. And I think I hope there is no 1-2-3 or 3-2-1 Cancun chant or whatever the case is. But I think, Trav, I don't think that's a unrealistic – I think there are a lot of Laker fans that feel that way. They might not pick up the phone and call into the station, but I think there's a lot of Laker fans that think, hey, this thing could be done tonight.
One distinction I want to make. The Lakers might lose tonight. I think you could make a pretty compelling case that they probably will lose tonight, although I'm still picking LeBron. Doesn't mean that they gave up, right? The 1-2-3 Cancun lives in Laker infamy because that group of guys didn't have – a player on that roster that's going to say, no, we're not going to go out like this. Look, there's no shame in losing. It sucks. Nobody likes it. But if you lose, you lose. Quitting is different. 1-2-3 Cancun is an embarrassment. There's a reason that I think his name was David, that David remembers that because it was embarrassing, right? The Lakers, LeBron's not going to 1-2-3 Cancun it. It's LeBron James. He's not going out like that. He may lose, but he's not going to 1-2-3 Cancun. All right. Dodgers got one of their guys.
By the way,
back
there's other places other than Cancun. So if you're going to do the chant, you know, there's other places too, you know.
Cabo greater than Cancun. In fact, been to both of those, and it's not close. All right. Dodgers get their guy back, and all of a sudden that offense looks very, very different. We'll take a little Dodger detour. It's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Is that like a new brand of drink?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I don't think it's so. Well, it sells really well with a certain group, but not generally speaking.
Take a couple.
It would be. It's a couple niche product.
Take a couple creepers.
Hey.
I get a creeper on ice.
I'll take.
I don't know where we're going with this. I have no idea where we're going with this.
Stop it.
Can you give it to me in the back? It's probably a bad name for a drink.
Do you remember we were trying to sell black market Dodger dogs at one of our first shows?
Hey, I'll take two dogs and a six-pack of Creepers.
Where are you guys going to be at the game? J4. J4. Yeah. Don't tell anybody.
You see where they have a new Dodger dog that's plant-based? I have not seen it. It's made out of pea protein. PEA.
How many of those do you have? Like, if there's a grill and I have the pea protein hot dogs, and then I have a couple just beef dogs, do you go for the pea protein dogs first? Do you get two of those first as an appetizer to your appetizer?
An amuse-bouche, I believe that's what that's called. I'd try one, sure. What if they're good? You know, I mean, the odds are that they're probably not. But they
you ever had one of the Impossible Burgers?
Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah, they're fine.
I mean, it's not a hamburger, but it doesn't.
But
taste
it's
like
not
a bad.
No,
it's not bad at all.
Yeah,
it's not bad at all. It's one of those things. If somebody gave it to you and said, "Here's a burger," you would eat it because that was fine. You would not say that was gross. I want my money back. It's fine. It's not my thing. But if ever we put it to you this way, in the Rogers household, we are not vegans. We are carnivores. We eat meat and fish and chicken and all that stuff. But we've slid in some Impossible Burgers in the menu every once in a while, and nobody says a word. They're good.
And then you took your kids off their allowance. You said, that's it. I don't consider you my child anymore. Let me read off a quick tweet here. Nate in Vegas. Instead of taking 328 calls last night, you should have reached out for a more in-depth conversation with medium plus steak caller.
Well, that's a show. That's not even a segment.
You're still getting stuff for that, aren't you?
It's arguably his worst take.
Hey, Trav, wait. When's the last time you were in the studio?
Oh, boy. Rams season? I think the last Rams playoff.
Oh, you know the small studio that we have there?
The one that
I use, typically you use on some of those games?
Right.
So you know how you could have the mic and it just kind of comes down, you know, it comes down kind of as far as you can go. Uh-huh. I was almost just sitting on the ground and just doing the show. Like, if this thing could come down any further, I'm good. I'll just lay down and do the show.
You should have laid on the desk. You just should have put a pillow, rolled up a ream of paper, made a little pillow for yourself, and called it an afternoon.
Mark in Cerritos, go ahead, bro. That's how I was feeling, yes. And by the way, I had like gone through everything I need to go through, and I look at the clock at 7:14. I'm like, we'll go until 9.
Caller number 412, you're up next. So while you were slowly dying from vid shot number 2 last night, Cody Bellinger was hitting home runs. Grand slam in the first inning. Dodgers put an 11th spot on the board in the first inning. And look, Cody Bellinger's just coming back. He's only played a couple of handfuls of game. He really hasn't gotten going yet, but he did hit that home run last night. That lineup, as good as it was before he got there, and even with Corey Seager still being gone with that injury.
By the way, you can't even say that casually. Like, think about that. Like, just saying, just Corey Seager's not in the lineup.
No, it's crazy. Corey Seager's a top 10 player, and it's like, Corey Seager's out, but, you know, whatever. We keep it rolling.
But by the way, that's almost how it's been with Bellinger too, right? It's just they've been so beat up, or they've had moments so far this year where they obviously haven't been in full strength, where you're literally lobbying out names who are MVP caliber players that you're like, yeah, that's one of the best players in baseball. And we're just saying, yeah, he's just not in the lineup. No big deal.
Yeah, it's funny. So the calibration coming into the season was, this is a team that could win 110 games. If they get really hot, they might win 115. They might threaten to make the all-time record of 116. We'll see. That's not going to happen, obviously. But they're also, I think they have the third best record in baseball right now. And they've done it with Mookie Betts more or less being cold most of the season. Mm-hmm. They've done it with Cody Bellinger not playing until very recently. They've done it with Corey Seager missing a good chunk of the first 2 months of the season with an injury. And they have the third best record in baseball. That usually, if you took Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado off the team and said Will Myers had never gotten hot all season long, Padres would be buried. Mm-hmm. But the Dodgers aren't. And that's what I think you got to see it with Bellinger last night. It's just his presence makes, because one of those guys is going to get you, right? That maybe you get past Mookie, maybe you kind of deal with Corey Seager, but here comes Turner, here comes Muncy, here comes Bellinger, here comes Taylor. It's just, here comes Lux. There's just one guy after the next, and Bellinger really kind of drives that home, just that there's no break in the lineup. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere, other than the pitcher, there's no easy out.
I was going to say, too, it's probably a mental thing, too. Like, if you're a pitcher for an opposing team, you're like, Jesus, what? I got to. So if I get through Mookie, then I got this dude. And then if I get through this dude, I still got to worry about Turner. And that's kind of been – it's interesting with the Dodgers too because, you know, there was a lot of the conversation about getting maybe 115 wins or whatever the case was. I actually don't think it's a bad thing that they're just kind of in the mix here, right? Top three, top five record in all of baseball right now. It's kind of crazy. The NL West – out of the top five teams in baseball, three of those teams are in the NL West. And that's with the Padres, by the way, have lost, I think, four games in a row. They lost them all, or they lost, I think they got swept by the Cubbies.
Yep.
And if you look at the Dodgers schedule, Dodgers actually, I saw this earlier today. I want to find the exact next 15 games are against teams with losing records.
Yeah,
so while you got the Dodgers and the Giants, or you got the Padres and the Giants are going to face some really tough teams, don't be surprised by the time we get out of June and July 1st starts that Dodgers are now back atop the NL West and probably hold on to that the rest of the way.
They're still the best. They might not have the best record in baseball. They're the best team in baseball. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles like Slee, RVs, and more at progressive.com. All right, back to the phones. Let's go to Santa Monica this time. And David, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's going on?
Yes, indeed, man. I'm going to go back to the Lakers, man. There's eggs being laid all over the place, especially with the GM. Yeah, you should talk about Rob Pelinka, because anytime you shake up a team that much, you take your experienced playoff postseason people out, like Rondo, like JaVale McGee, and you take out Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard was a beast for them last year. You should have at least found a way to keep him, you know, one more season, and because that's what's missing in the paint. And then Frank Vogel lays an egg by not playing Montrezl Harrell, like you said, sixth man of the year, until the fourth quarter. What the heck was that? You need somebody in the middle to shake it up with Drummond. You know, they wasn't crashing the offensive boards. It was a nightmare. How are you going to win a game without crashing the offensive boards and without shooting three-pointers? So that was the critical mistake of the Lakers. And the third egg was, of course, laid by the players. And you got Kyle Kuzma, and you know, I'll give up to Caruso. He's been improving. He has been, but the people like Kuzma and KCP. I know he's hurt, but you got to find a way through it. You know, Kobe played, you know, with a bum finger, a bum knee, and an ankle. You know, come on, man. You know, you got to man up. You begin play to win championships. This is it. This is your shot. You got to shine. There's no excuses, and so. That's what I think they need. They need to invest in some therapists. You know,
appreciate you calling in. Thank you,
David. Very quickly, Slee, I want you to respond to that. But it got me thinking with David throwing all those eggs around.
Yeah,
what's the proper amount of eggs for an omelet? Is it three or is it four? I think I'm more of a four guy.
I can't take down four eggs in one
sure
sitting.
Sure, you can. Put a little ham and cheese and onions and jalapenos in there. I dare you not to eat four eggs.
Some bacon, some ham.
Yeah, right.
Don't threaten me of what the amount of eggs I'm going to eat. Okay, I don't need.
David was like, egg number three, and I start thinking, well, three egg omelets kind of standard, and you know, we could do that, but a fourth egg just gives you. You know, I'd rather have a little bit more than a little. I'd hate to have a three egg omelet and want two more bites, and have a four egg omelet and leave two bites on the plate.
Can I throw this out to any caller out there? Please do not make a food reference and then expect Travis to answer the point you're trying to make about the Lakers or the Dodgers. Stay away from that.
I don't even know what he was talking about. I was just focused on the eggs. I'll let you take the other stuff.
I was waiting for you to come back after that. Yeah, I agree. Stafford's going to be huge this year for the Rams. Like, you just have no idea where he was going.
Yeah, Kareem is better than MJ. I agree.
All right, so we talked a little bit about this earlier, and I want to hesitate. I want to wait here. I'm going to wait on the Pelinka talk. Let's wait on the moves. You know, Travis, this is not uncommon in sports where you overplay your cards a little bit. You kind of outsmart yourself. And the Lakers were coming off a championship. It's, well, we're not going to just sit pat. We're going to actually get even better, and we're going to address this, and we're going to address that. And now we're younger, and we're faster, and we're this. Maybe that ultimately is what haunts the Lakers. But what it comes down to, Trav, and I just want every Laker fan to, you know, you got to understand this. I don't care if you had Dwight Howard on your team. I don't care if you had Rondo on your team, JaVale McGee, Danny Green. Go down the list of some of the players that weren't there. If AD wasn't playing, I don't care which roster it was. It was last year's roster or it was this year's roster. If AD wasn't playing, if he wasn't 100%, you're not going very far. So you got to always kind of remember that as well. Not to say that those aren't fair points, as some of the role players last year were more productive, more experienced, more championship pedigree than these guys that the Lakers have.
Absolutely. All right. I want to, very quickly, Dwight Howard, who I've never for a millionth of a second been a fan of, they miss him.
Oh, no question about it.
Absolutely.
No question about it.
If there's a biggest LeBron James fan, I might be that. If there's a biggest not Dwight Howard fan, I'm also that.
I've thought about that in this series about DeAndre Ayton having to, you know, how Dwight Howard would kind of push around a guy like Ayton, where he's getting kind of being able to do whatever he wants to do. I'm with you. I think the Dwight thing is.
And he'd get chippy and he'd get a little physical along the way as well, for sure. For sure. All right, we'll continue that conversation. Some of the other guys, and I have more omelet thoughts, plus more of your phone calls. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, Slee. It's not an Ask Slee day, but I'm going to put you on the spot. These are going to be some impromptu Ask Slees. They're important. They're the things that I care about most.
Yep.
Omelet or scramble?
I'd rather go omelet than scrambled eggs.
That's the wrong answer. Okay, and here's why. That's the wrong answer because omelets are very tricky. They can easily be overcooked, and now you have a rubber egg pocket filled with stuff.
Sounds delicious to me. I still don't see a problem.
So if you do a scramble, you still get all the wonderful things that you can put in an omelet, except for you can control the eggs a little bit better. They don't get quite as overcooked. They can still be nice and tender. And wait to see, an omelet can go a little – unless you have a very skilled omelet chef, and I'm talking about one of those guys with the long cylindrical white hats like at a buffet.
Of course.
Unless you have one of those guys, you probably want to go scramble.
Do you miss buffets?
Were
you a buffet guy or no?
No. Generally speaking, I am not because the quality suffers when you start making big quantities. However, an omelet guy is kind of hard to beat because they make them to order. Right? But it's the rest of the buffet.
About the quantity. I'm like, don't worry about how it tastes. Just get it on the plate.
Quantity's fine. Don't get me wrong. But I'm more about the quality. So a buffet is all about here's a million different things made mediocrely. Eat as much as you want. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have two or three things that are made with great attention to detail, like an omelet, than have a bunch of other things. So
I was more like, can you put the sushi next to my teriyaki chicken?
I don't like
and
that.
And then next to the pasta.
And prime rib.
I don't like having my sushi next to my Eggs Benedict, next to a slice of key lime pie, next to tomato juice. I don't need
my
that.
My cantaloupe just touched my orange chicken.
That actually doesn't sound bad. I might be into
it's a good mix.
Like
it's a good mix.
And so here's the other question.
Yeah.
What's going in the Sliwa omelet? This is one, Slee. There really is no wrong answer here. Whatever you like is kind of the right answer.
I'm going to do probably some onions, some tomatoes, some mushrooms.
No.
Throw some avocado in there.
Sure.
Throw some turkey in there. I'm going to do some. I know you want ham.
You do know,
I know
that
you want,
they have
you
pigs
want ham.
That they turn into things like ham and sausage and bacon.
I get it.
And things
I get it.
Like that, right?
That's probably what I'm going to go with. Probably what I'm going to go with. I don't really need more than that. Are you throwing other stuff in there?
I like everything you said other than mushrooms, but we're going to put some pork in there. There's going to be some sausage or some bacon for sure. And then we got to have some jalapeno in there. We got to have a little bit of heat.
That's a good touch.
And
how
about some herbs? How about we do a little tarragon in there? We do a little dill, maybe a little chive.
That's some fancy omelet.
Yeah, well, I mean we're making omelets. We're not just going to throw a slice of American cheese and a slice of ham in there.
When you
right?
when
we're
you
make it right.
When you cook and you make food, is it all about like the process for you? Is it just I want to eat? Because I'm still in the I just want to eat. So
it's
like
both.
However this thing turns out, I'm in a hurry here. Let's eat.
So COVID. COVID was interesting for a variety of reasons, but I fine-tuned some of my skills in the kitchen. I went from being somebody that was okay. I can cook. I'm not going to lie. I can make some things, but now I'm above average now. I'm not obviously a chef, but I can hold my own. I could make you something that you'd be like, this is quite good, even if it had no bacon in it.
Will you be applying to Nobu within the next couple of months?
No, I don't have skills like that. Those guys are magicians. Those guys are absolutely remarkable along the way. I like these conversations, Lee, mostly because it distracts me from the Lakers and what might happen to them tonight. We were talking about Dwight Howard. We talked about JaVale McGee. We talked about Rajon Rondo. The guys that are coming off the bench in this game tonight do not fill me with the confidence that those guys did. When Kuz comes in, I'm hoping. When Schroeder comes in, hoping. It's not with Dwight and JaVale. You knew exactly what you were going to get, and they'd give it to you all the time. They weren't going to give you 25 points apiece, but they're going to give you high energy. Lots
How about
of
Rondo?
Defense.
How about Rondo in the playoffs?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Rondo was the great X factor, but Rondo needs the right guys to X factor with. Right?
Of course, which is and that's okay. That was you kind of knew that with Rondo, but it's kind of crazy. Here we are. What time is it? 10:35 on a Thursday morning. Could the season be over in 24 hours? I mean, that's
sure it could.
That's crazy. I just kind of thinking about that for a quick second here. Nobody's ready for the Lakers season to end.
Can I flip it a little bit?
Yeah.
Because the answer to your question, I think, is yeah, of course it could. They're down 3-2, and their second best player might not play. They're in real trouble.
And you said something that we do not talk enough about. Phoenix is balling. That's a good team. Listen, if the Lakers are healthy, I would have picked Lakers in six. That's what I said. Obviously, that's not going to happen. They're not healthy, and Phoenix is pretty good. You're not playing Memphis or one of these other teams. Phoenix is playing some good basketball, but what were you going to say?
What I was going to say is there anybody out there, and feel free to make the call, 877-710-ESPN, that still thinks the Lakers are going to win a championship? Because that feels like that ship has sailed. Right? I mean, they may survive this round. They may find a way for LeBron to go LeBron in this game and maybe in game seven, and we'll see what happens after that. But at the beginning of the playoffs, this felt like Brooklyn and the Lakers are on a collision course. They're going to find it. They're the only teams that can beat each other, right? And now it feels like Brooklyn's taking care of their end of the bargain. But it feels like with the Lakers, we're just crossing our fingers and hoping they catch a break to get out of the first round. That the championship run feels like it's just about gone.
Okay, so would you agree with this, that if you find a way to get past Phoenix, first of all, you got to just win tonight. Win tonight, you force a game seven. Saturday, anything can happen. I'll take a one-game playoff with LeBron, and we'll see what happens. If you can just get past round one, all right, you think we're starting to go back to that conversation of Lakers will become more and more dangerous as the playoffs progress? Because that's what you and I spent a lot of time talking about when we were walking into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that the answer to that is no, and here's why. Even if LeBron and AD get healthier, I think that healthy is out the window, right? Healthier is a possibility. Healthy, unlikely. Slee, the rest of those dudes, they're giving them nothing. Mm-hmm. And I understand that LeBron is a great answer to questions and AD is, but you got to give me something. KCP hit big shots. Alex Caruso hit big shots last year. Markieff Morris hit big shots. Other guys, Rajon Rondo hit big shots, had big moments. They're not getting anything from those guys.
I'd be more okay with that being the concern as long as AD and LeBron are good enough to kind of get you through these games. I do think those guys – the chances of role players churning it around are more likely because they're such small pieces in the big pie. Like, it's not going to take that much for these role players to churn things around. What I'm referring to is you're not depending on them as you are with LeBron and Anthony Davis. So if you got to the second round, let's kind of look at the Western Conference just in a quick second here, okay? Uh-huh. Clippers are on the verge of losing a playoff series in the first round. So if people thought a couple days ago Clippers are now the team to beat in the West, they may not make it out of the first round. Portland and Denver, I think, are tailor-made to go seven games. Whatever team comes out, it's not like you're saying, well, this team's impossible to beat. I think the Suns would beat Portland. I think the Suns would beat the Denver Nuggets. So just to kind of give that as an example, if Lakers get past the Suns, they're probably facing less competition than they were in round one. I saw something yesterday with Utah. Utah could be that team in the Western Conference that's the most dangerous. Mm-hmm. But I saw something about Mike Conley and his hamstring, kind of re-aggravated a hamstring injury. The West is pretty damn wide open, Trav. So if your concern
Do you really believe that? Because it doesn't feel open at all to me. It feels like Utah is this – it's Utah and Phoenix at this point, and Utah feels like a better team than Phoenix. I'd be surprised if it was anybody other than
24 hours ago, you weren't saying that. So it is wide open. Because just think about this. We were talking about how the Clippers now are getting all the momentum. 24 hours went by, and now the Clippers are not part of your conversation, which
I
still think they should be.
Rules. I violated the Clipper rule. I let myself believe. I believed in them for a day, and it was one of my great regrets in sports fan history. It was a bad look by me.
The Mike Conley part, I'm going to read this off because this was big news yesterday. I don't think people made that much pulls his hamstring but feels confident he'll be ready to go for round two of the playoffs. So, you know, round two will start whenever that does. They're waiting for the Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks. Maybe that comes into play. That's what I mean is there's no clear-cut favorite. There really isn't. There's not a clear-cut favorite. And let's say the Lakers got past the Phoenix Suns. Even the Lakers are not a lock or a guarantee. So I just still think there is kind of – there's some hope that if you got past the Suns, then you could be the team that represents the West. But that's a tall task to say that you're getting past the Suns at this point.
Scramble is the right answer.
The way you frame things, it's literally like a bully.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Like I have to double guess every food thing I've ever thought of in my life. I'm like, Sue, don't screw this up. Travis is coming after your neck.
You know what I didn't know? This is in the dump, but I just looked at it. It's National Egg Day. We were having an egg conversation, and we didn't even know it was
very,
Egg Day.
Very, very naturally. Very genuine. By the way, I got to read off a tweet here. Harrison Fagan has put out that – I lost it. I already lost it. Harrison Fagan has put out, in what Chris Paul will surely take as good news, no Scott Foster tonight for Game 6. Referees will be – David Guthrie, Ben Taylor, Tom Washington, and then an alternate. So unfortunately for the Lakers, that's kind of BS, to be honest with you. They don't have Scott Foster in there.
Look, I get the joke.
What are we, 0 for 11? 0 for 11?
Dude, Chris Paul, A, knowing that, and B, speaking it aloud, lets you know what you need to know about Chris Paul, in my opinion. That because, like, I get it. There are good referees and bad referees, and if we want to have the discussion about Scott Foster being a bad referee, fine. I'm here for that. We can have that conversation. But, dude, referees are not out there to beat Chris Paul. Scott Foster doesn't wake up in the morning, crack his knuckles, put his feet on the ground, and say, how can I screw Chris Paul?
I disagree.
Today?
I think Chris Paul does not have a championship because of Scott Foster.
But that Chris Paul thinks that that's what's going on tells you that there's things going on in Chris Paul's head that he thinks are beyond his control, that there are things that he cannot control in a basketball game like the referees.
You can put it any way you want. I'm just telling you we're off to a bad start today. Scott Foster will not be refereeing Game 6 of the Lakers and the Phoenix Suns.
You know how sometimes you'll say, what were we talking about earlier where I got, Tebow, right? Where I just get super bothered by the Tebow conversation.
It might be one of my favorite. These fun, just please more Tebow as we progress in the show.
The sports equivalent of Tebow is anybody that complains to me about referees or umpires or and I just guys, first of all, it's a borderline impossible job. And second of all, they're all bad at it. Because it's impossible to do. The game moves so fast. Mm-hmm. In football, there's a hold on every play. There's interference on every play. In baseball, the ball's going 100 miles an hour, and it may or may not have clipped the corner of the plate. It's impossible to do.
Have you ever reffed or been an umpire like at any stage of your life?
I have umpired because I'm a father of Little League children, and you are required to umpire games as part of the deal. And it's really difficult. And look, I hate umpires too. They're awful, right? Because they're there to be seen. The really awful ones like Joe West are
love,
there. So they
they love that.
Preen and walk around and be in charge. And those guys are the worst.
Idiots,
the worst.
Right.
But it's a really in the history of sports, there are maybe three or four calls that have changed the outcome of events. Really. There was the one with the Rams a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty big miss. Mm-hmm. that I get why Saints fans feel bad about that one. There was the famously Don Denkinger in the World Series where he blew an easy call at first base. There was the call at first base on a perfect game, Armando Galarraga, that got blown up. He would have had a perfect game otherwise. But the fact that we can remember these things means it doesn't happen very often. Stop with the officials are out to get us, Chris Paul and fans. And if you ever want to start a phone call to show it, well, the ref, dial tone, done. I hate it. I hate it, Sleep.
Funch, you have control back there. I say we give a platform for those that are talking about the refs. I think we spent a solid 10 minutes on it. All right, you want to take a couple quick calls here before the dump?
Let's do it. Studio City, Noah. Noah, you're on with Travis and Sleep. What's up?
Hey, guys, excellent show. You've covered just about every angle there is to cover, so let me just add a couple tiny little subtle points. We can keep saying all day, like, well, this guy's got to step up, that guy's got to step up, this guy's got to step up. But if the whole team is sucking, you have to look at the coaching. I don't think this is on Pelinka, because on paper, if you go, you're going to lose this guy and that guy, but I'm bringing in the reigning sixth man of the year and the one who won before that, and they both averaged 20 points a game. Any coach in the league would have said, yeah, I'll take it. Give me those guys, and found a way to make it work. Vogel just seems completely over his head right now. And on a very subtle level, here's something that I caught. The other night when he put Montrez in garbage time with a bunch of scrubs, and when you throw those guys all in, what you're saying is, these are the guys that we don't really care if they get hurt or not in this garbage time. And if you throw Montrez into that, that is going to mess with his psyche, because that's the message you're sending to him. And I don't care if after the fact you go, well, I just wanted to get him some run. Well, then put him in when it matters with the guys that he should be playing with. Because if you saw, this was very quick, but when he was walking off the court the other night after a timeout with, like, whatever, 2 minutes left to go, Vogel sort of stepped out on the court to start low-fiving guys, and Montrez just walked by him and was staring daggers.
No. Let me jump in here real quick. So I think this, in regards to coach and in regards to Montrez, yeah, this is not a conversation that's going to go anywhere today or tomorrow. I mean, if the season ends tonight, there's going to be a lot of questions that go to coach. There's going to be a lot of questions. Well, why'd you bring in Montrez Harrell if you're not using the dude in the playoffs? You use that money that you had available in the offseason for him. He was the sixth man reigning sixth man of the year. But I still think, Trav, you know, one thing that we got to just kind of remember in this whole thing. When Lakers were winning a couple games early on in the season, AD was doing his thing, games two, game three. It's not like Montrez was getting a lot of run, but Lakers were winning, so it was quiet. AD's not playing good now. I think a lot of Laker fans want to see, isn't this the time to use Montrez? Aren't there now more opportunities to try and see if you can get him run? He's not getting any PT. The playing time that he got in game five was the equivalent of you and I going in at the end of the game. Like, it really was meaningless. So I get the frustration, and I think that's a fair question that Laker fans are going to be asking if the offseason starts sooner than we thought.
And I hate to break it to people, but sometimes players and coaches don't get along. I mean, yeah, if you're not getting playing time and the coach puts you in and you feel like you should be in, you're probably not going to high-five the guy coming
off
the court.
But he is. Let me say this. It is a weird one with Montrez.
Yeah.
That's a weird one. It's this dude got the free agency money that the Lakers had, right? Like, if it didn't go to Montrez, you could have went and tried to apply that money towards somebody else. He's not getting run.
No, he's not. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him a little bit more tonight just because they need to try something different. But,
yeah,
you know, sometimes you sign guys and it doesn't work out. That would not be the first. Certainly won't be the last. The dump coming up next. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. All right, Slee, let's start with this. Let me get a little background on Slee here. Are you an Olympics guy at all? Do you like the Olympics?
I'll watch it, but not, you know, I'm not sitting there all day and saying, all right, I got to get gymnastics.
Are you watching anything other than basketball?
I watched the whole
thing. Yeah, I'll watch some stuff other than basketball.
Yeah, I am an Olympics fan. I'm not going to watch, you know, I don't know, rowing on just a random Saturday afternoon.
Ski
That's not
shooting.
My thing. But if you put flags on people's uniforms, I'm in. I'll watch it for 2 weeks. It's mm-hmm. fine. It's in the middle of the summer. It doesn't matter. That being said, these Olympics are going to be a little weird. 10,000 volunteers in Tokyo have said, you know what, we're out.
Wow.
These Olympics feel like, first of all, nobody in Japan really wants them because of the vid. No one's really excited to have them come. The IOC says we're coming anyway. We're doing it. Get ready for it. It just feels like this is probably something they should let go. They're not going to, but they probably should.
So if I'm right, is this you can't travel? The only people who can attend the events are those in Japan?
Yeah, I think that's
right. They're not. You don't have the ability to travel. You and I can't go to Tokyo.
No, we can't say we. You know, we're big kayaking, whitewater kayaking fans. We'd like to come see that. They won't let us in.
Okay. All right. 10,000 volunteers. It's going to be forced. You know, it's going to be interesting too. The NBA kind of structured their entire season so that it ends and it gives opportunity for players to still go be a part of the Olympic Games. I mean, if you literally look at the finals will end, and a few days later, the Olympic schedule will start. So we'll see how that takes effect.
I was 13 years old when the Olympics came to L.A. in 1984, and I vividly remember it. It was so much fun. It was so cool. The city had a great vibe, and it was just – I was lucky enough to get to go to a handful of things. I remember going to a baseball game. I remember going to a basketball game. I grew up in Arcadia, so they had the equestrian events at Santa Anita right there. It's just a really cool thing. I'm looking forward to them coming.
That's probably why you have such an affiliation to it too. You know, like at that age you go to an event like that, it probably sticks with you.
Really, really cool. All right, so the Knicks are out. They get bounced by Trae Young. How about this? Trae Young and Michael Jordan are the only two guys to have three 30-plus point games in Madison Square Garden in the playoffs. How, in retrospect, how much more ridiculous do the Knicks fans look with that impromptu parade they threw after one playoff victory?
Okay, I got a couple things on this series. First of all, not a lot of people talked about the Hawks and the Knicks. That was a fun series.
It was.
You had people running their mouth. Clint Capella saying, hey, we're coming to New York and we're going to end this series. Trae Young was talking trash, but he backed up everything. I loved everything about it. And then you got the Knicks fans who... listen, I get they haven't had much to cheer for in a while, but it kind of looked amateur hour. You didn't expect that from a market like New York.
Not from New York City. That was Tulsa. That was, you know, Kansas City. That was Minnesota. That was not New York City, where you come streaming out of the building having won one playoff game. Here's how good Trae Young is.
Yeah.
They gave up Luka Doncic to get him, and I don't think anybody's that mad about it. That's how good that – remember, they did that draft day trade, right?
Of course.
Atlanta and Dallas did the – and they swapped those two picks. They had Luka Doncic for 8 seconds, and they flipped him for Trae Young. And I bet you know what? They're pretty happy with their decision.
Well,
that's how good Young's been.
They're lucky that Trae Young is performing, because Michael Thompson spends every time that we talk about the Sacramento Kings, anything, any conversation, he goes back to, can you believe Lade passed up on Luka Doncic?
Well,
can you imagine? And just think about that. You're a franchise as irrelevant as the Sacramento Kings, and you freaking passed up on Luka. You and I were just making a case that you'd take him over any other player in the NBA for a season.
I absolutely would, but I will tell you this, too. I'll add this little caveat to it. If Luka had gone to the Kings, Luka wouldn't be Luka. The stink of that organization would have rubbed off on him, not the other way around.
I don't know. He's a baller.
He's amazing.
He's a baller.
He's absolutely amazing. But to your point, Slee, to the Clippers, to the Kings, to the team, you know, there are just teams in other sports have it too. There are just some teams that no matter what, they stink. And even when they don't stink, they still can't get it quite right. The Clippers kind of fall into that category.
Well, Phoenix is a little bit under that, and they're trying to get past the Lakers. We'll see what happens.
They are working on it for sure. All right. Footage was been released of UFOs swarming the USS Omaha in 2019.
We're done. Let's just stop messing around here.
You want me to make it worse?
Sure.
Just 125 miles off the coast of San Diego. So the aliens are going to start with your hometown.
Yeah, they're
getting,
coming
and
in.
By the way,
no more California burritos.
No, those are done.
So you really want me to go down the rabbit hole?
Yeah,
why they're
please.
In San Diego. right? It's where
military.
The Navy is.
That's right. The military. It's a military town. You got to take out the military
where,
first.
That's where they're going to hit first. That's where they, when they want to cripple our ability to hit back. Mm-hmm. So they're just kind of, hey, I wonder what this aircraft carrier's up to. Hey, I wonder what this destroyer's up to. What's that submarine capable of? Let's buzz around and see what they got.
You guys seen that Will Smith movie one too many times, Independence Day.
You know where they're not hanging out. They're not in Seattle, okay? They went straight to our military in San Diego.
They don't want the coffee. They don't want the coffee.
It's look, it's very upsetting. Let's move on. Let's not talk about that anymore. Coach K is retiring. They named a replacement in waiting, John Shire, whatever. You know what got me to thinking, Slee?
Yeah.
You know who has been because replacing somebody like Coach K is virtually impossible. Do you know who was impossible to replace and has been replaced as best as you could ever imagine, and it's worked out really well? Right here in town. Vin Scully. Mm. And no one replaces Vin Scully, right? No one. Joe Davis is really good at that. Like, nobody's going, oh, man, Vin would have this, Vin would have that. Joe Davis slid into an impossible
situation.
That's
a great point. Yep.
And did it seamlessly.
We always say, too, you don't want to be the guy that took over after Phil Jackson. You don't want to be the guy that took over after, you know, the next person. That's a great point. That's a great perspective on that.
Yeah, when I saw that, that's the first thing I thought of. He's just done an absolutely fabulous job. All right, Slee, we've got just a handful of seconds here. Lakers and Suns, game 6 tonight at Staples Center. You got your pregame show. You got your postgame show. You throwing a party, or are you trying to break down what happened?
I'm just going to break down what happened. I'm going to break down what happened. By the way, Trav, you got tomorrow off, so you got a 3-day weekend. Enjoy the graduation later tonight as well.
Travis and Slee with Clinton Yates tomorrow, 8:55. We'll see you then.